Hello and welcome. Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome to our presentation and webinar for today. This is Working with Cloud Technology Effectively in a Coronavirus World, Part 1. This is Steve Yass. I am happy and excited to be with you here today. Thank you so much for attending and coming to our presentation with respect to this. We've got an action-packed presentation for you today. This is, of course, eligible for CPE credit. If you're interested in earning credit for today's class, go ahead and check out cpetoday.com. More information about that coming here in a moment. Today's presentation is going to be looking at a variety of different technologies that can assist in the world that we're living in today. We're about a year into COVID. And what this crisis has kind of done is really kind of transformed with respect to how we deal with and incorporate technology inside the world. You know, and for organizations that have essentially done this correctly and set up their technology correctly with the ability, for example, to be able to work remotely, to allow their staff to work from home, it's pretty much been business as usual. And for those who haven't, they've really kind of struggled over the last year trying to incorporate it inside of their organizations. Really what we're going to talk about today first is the overall impact of the coronavirus, what it has looked like in America to American workers, as well as around the world. And I'm going to give you some recommendations with respect to technology that I think would be useful and effective with respect to kind of managing this this crisis inside your own organization. Some different tech that you can use from working from home, different tech that you can utilize from the road. So if you can't be near your staff, you can't be near your people, you know, you could still be connected and still be able to operate. From there, we're going to really kind of dive into cloud tech in general. Really what I would say, the organizations that have leveraged the cloud effectively are the ones that are probably prospering in 2021. And so we're going to define what the cloud is, some of the benefits and risks with respect to utilizing cloud-based technology, and different opportunities that it can present within your business. And we'll look at a bunch of different tech that you could consider to utilize. And so with this, the intention of this course is to give you enough information to understand different cloud technology that you might choose to use to hopefully not just survive COVID and survive the coronavirus crisis, but maybe even flourish. Many of the recommendations that we're going to talk about today are things that I implement in my own organizations and with my clients. Now, I want to point out this is part one of a two-part course. We'll have part two here probably in a little bit and probably a week or two. So stay on the lookout for that. And in section two of the course, we're going to take an even deeper look into technology with respect to moving your firm to the cloud. I'm going to give you an action plan with respect to how to be able to utilize that and where to go. Additionally, we'll also talk about some of the migration steps in terms of what it actually takes to move there. Today, we're going to lay the groundwork for that course. So please stick with us, stay tuned. There's so much more great stuff to come. Quick word on who I am and why I'm with you here today. Again, my name is Steve Yass. I'll be your instructor and presenter. I am a software developer. I'm a certified public accountant. I've spent about half my career and half my life helping organizations build technology for their organizations, internal software, websites, e-commerce, things of that nature. My business, which is listed right here above, is Devmatics. We build all sorts of cool stuff. Additionally, the other half of my year, I kind of spend teaching and writing. I do a lot with respect to the continuing education for the profession, and I love helping people, and I love kind of sharing technology and showing how it can better be utilized inside your organizations to really kind of add tremendous value. And so I put together today's course really kind of based off of my experience with coronavirus, and please put in the comments, wherever you happen to be watching this video, maybe some of your experiences with respect to this, and we'll maybe include that in a future presentation. Now, I do want to point out this podcast is available for credit. If you happen to be a financial professional, if you're a CPA, an enrolled agent, or other financial professional, I'd encourage you to take this course for CPE credit. If you go to our website, cpetoday.com. You can take and complete a short exam for today's podcast, a short 5-question exam, and earn your credits and earn a certificate for today's presentation. All courses, all podcast courses are $29. And we're hopefully going to have a big library of content over the next couple of months that we're going to continue to develop that you can check out on a regular basis. This course code is cpe.cx/CTW1 if you'd like to just jump directly where that course is. And with your purchase, you get a DRM-free copy of the learning materials of the presentation available to watch on any device you'd like. You can ask me questions. We're going to have a bunch of advanced topics in Excel and Power BI and accounting. So if you'd like the opportunity to kind of ask questions and participate, you can go ahead and do that as well. So please consider getting credit today if this is something you're interested in. And if you're just a general public, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy our presentation. And again, consider liking and subscribing and leave some comments to let us know what you're interested in learning about. Okay, so one last bit with respect to kind of a disclaimer for today, just pointing out that this presentation is for educational purposes only. Please do your own due diligence with respect to choosing solution providers that best fit your organization. All right, so let's go ahead and get into our first section for today's presentation, really talking about the impact of the coronavirus in the office and what that looks like. We're going to go ahead and talk first about kind of the macro impact of COVID in the United States, what it's had on the psyche of America. Then we're going to go ahead and talk about what it's done inside of the workplace itself. I would say, at least in my career, this has been the most notable change that has occurred in the last, I would probably say, 50, 60 years. I mean, we've had bigger events, in terms of casualties or economic impact, but, in terms of something worldwide we've all experienced, this is probably the most, and it's, in my opinion, fundamentally changed how people are engaging with work and where they are conducting work. So what is that, and what should we be aware of with respect to our organizations? Then we're going to go ahead and talk about what remote work looks like. As a professional, what does it mean to be able to work from home? More and more organizations are choosing to turn to this due to the positive impact it can have on their bottom line, as well as with respect to employee relations and productivity. And so what are some of the benefits of working remotely? We'll also talk about some reasons you might want to keep the office. As great as remote work is, and I myself am a big fan of remote work, there are some reasons to still want to consider keeping the office around. And finally, I'll finish with some tips with respect to kind of working from home and ways that you can find yourself to be productive in a world where maybe mom and dad are both having to work, maybe with some kids at home and having to teach them as well, and what that looks like. Even if, and hopefully it's a soon if, when the coronavirus and COVID kind of all goes away, I think the technology side of this is still here to stay. And I think there's still a lot of benefit with respect to what we can learn and what we can utilize by leveraging this technology effectively. You're not going to be out anything by learning how to work more effectively. It just gives you more options and places to be able to work. Okay, so COVID, in my opinion, is probably the largest crisis in a long time, 50 to 100 years easily. It's affected cities, countries all around the world. I mean, it has massive impacts, for example, on things like the travel industry, live entertainment, really kind of anything that involves people coming together and being able to congregate in close proximity with each other. While hopefully this isn't the deadliest crisis, it has caused a lot of economic hardship and probably more than anything I will hopefully ever see in my lifetime. Estimates of unemployment across the United States, Canada, and other places range anywhere from about 14% to Canada, about 7 to 10% here in the United States. Obviously, it depends geographically and certainly by profession. Upwards of 30% in other parts of Europe and the world. It's truly hard. I myself, I have a number of friends who work in the live events space, have seen them struggle with respect to what this has caused in their profession and business and not being able to really kind of earn a living. If your business is dependent on, for example, getting people in close proximity together, well, that's really kind of hard and very difficult in the COVID world when everybody needs to be 6 feet apart. From my career, I've always done online teaching, but I have also spent a tremendous amount of time doing live in-person teaching and have done that for the last 10, 15 years. You know, I usually do 60 to 70 live events a year with state societies and nonprofits and other stuff like that. But that's virtually all dried up. I could tell you last year in 2020, I think I did a total of, I'm going to say maybe 5 events when I normally would have done like 70 events. So, I mean, it's definitely changed. And anything that brings people together is certainly going to be difficult. It's also had a huge impact on the world supply chain and other financial networks and logistic networks and things of this nature. And we're all just kind of waiting just to see what's going to happen and when the world is going to open up and maybe we're going to see something different. You know, of my opinion, you know, given that we're in 2021 at this perspective, I would say that we're in it at least another 6 months. I hope that we're in it less than that. You know, I'm hopefully it'll be done with the vaccine here just in a couple of months, but I'm not holding my breath for that. You know, I think that this is going to be a crisis that we're in, I would say, for at least through July, you know. And so hopefully that's less. Now, some of the bigger changes that this has had on people is the fact how, where, when we're working. A lot of offices and a lot of commerce spaces have to close down. Either they've been closed down the entire time or they've been closed down for a duration of time or they've had to significantly change their operations. Where I live in Southern California here, we've had to close down, for example, restaurants multiple times just due to the rate of coronavirus. At the time of this filming, pretty much all the restaurants in Southern California are closed. And in fact, most retail organizations are as well. And those that are open have very strict health and safety guidelines, and most are enforcing social distancing of a minimum of 6 feet. You know, if you start thinking about an area where there's close proximity, I mean, that becomes very difficult in terms of being able to work and what that might look like. There's also a lot of limitations with respect to how people congregate and coming to and from, capacity limitations, stuff like that. And most of us have never had to experience anything like this before. Well, thankfully, for knowledge workers, for professional workers like ourselves, we have other options. And thankfully, we have the opportunity, for example, to work from our home or from a more private location other than like a public office. Previously, prior to COVID, only about 7 to 10% of workers globally had the option of a flexible workplace. So the ability to work from home or work from a coffee shop or something like that. And I can tell you, within the last year, we've actually seen that number, and this is coming from the U.S. Department of Commerce, go up to about 30%, which is an incredible increase. And I think that number is going to only go up. I think for a lot of us that previously didn't have this opportunity, but now have this opportunity, I would say a lot of us have fallen in love with it and probably enjoy the fact of having more flexibility where we work than not. And for, you know, kind of putting ourselves in the mindset of 2020, a lot of people, this was their first opportunity. Seemingly overnight, you know, they had to go from working in their office to working from home. I'll give you an example of my father. So my dad is a CPA, longtime accountant. He's had a public practice in Claremont, California, where I grew up for, I'm going to say close to 50 years at this point, Yass, Allen, Bernstein, and Lightfoot. And my dad has always been the guy that got up, had his coffee, went to the office, and that's where he conducted his work. And in tax season, he'd work from home. And over the last couple of years, he started to work a little bit from home. But he's very used to that routine in terms of getting up, going to the office. That's where I do my work. I see my staff. I see my clients. People visit me. I visit them. And that's how you do work, you know. And for him, this is a very different experience. He had to figure out a whole bunch of things, you know, technology-wise, business-wise, but also interpersonally. I mean, what's it like to be at home all the time? What does that feel like to kind of have that not going anywhere type thing, you know? And this was a bigger change for him. And he had to think through a whole bunch of additional options besides just what it looks like with respect to working from home. I mean, it's more than just having a desk in your house that you go to conduct work. You know, versus myself, you know, I am significantly younger, and this is something I've been doing forever. In my business, we've always been remote. We've got a wonderful staff of folks, and all of us work remote. We've never actually had a physical office. And for a software development firm, that's quite easy to do. By the very nature of the tools and services that we use, they're all remote, you know, so it doesn't really matter where we're at. So it really didn't skip a beat for us. So the takeaway from this is, I mean, depending on your age, your experience, your profession, this could be a small change or it could be a massive change. And there's often a lot of smaller interpersonal details that kind of get left out that people just don't realize that need to be considered. So I think this is a good thing, though. I mean, there's never a bad thing giving your organization additional flexibility with respect to being able to work in other places. You know, in the event of a disaster or business continuity position, you now have created the world to be your workplace where you're not tied to one physical building that could be subject to some sort of disaster. Now, what I would say is organizations that have the capability to have their staff work from home have a much higher chance of remaining in business and probably even prospering. They have a higher opportunity of keeping their staff employed as well as remaining healthy. You know, I like to think of, you know, that health and safety are paramount to most organizations. And, you know, why risk having people come into the office to potentially get sick? You know, I think this is better served by kind of having people work from home and stay healthy and make their own decisions for that matter. Now, working from home offers a lot of benefits, and I'm speaking from experience. I've worked from home pretty much my entire career, my partner likewise, and having this kind of flexibility to be able not just to work from home, but really kind of not being tied to have to wake up and commute is enormously beneficial, both for the company as well as for the staff. I can tell you generally people who work from home have better mental health and probably have better work-life balance than those who commute to the office. My fiance, for example, for a period of time was commuting from our home in Southern California, almost across the entire SoCal region to a firm that was located in Southern Orange County with a 2-hour commute. I can tell you that that's very draining, you know, having to be in the car for 4 hours every single day, especially if it's not a job that you're truly enamored with and in love with. Now that we work from home, I mean, it makes it a lot simpler and easier, not only just in terms of logistics of coming and going, but just not having to have that kind of time tied up in the car. So my first point I would say is, what's your mental health worth to you? What's it worth to not have to spend the additional funds in fuel or in wear and tear on your car and other things of this nature? So there's some serious cost savings to the employee avoiding the commute. Now, there's also cost savings with respect to the organization as well. This was from a report from the U.S. Department of Commerce that said, on average, telecommuting can lower operating costs and real estate costs by about $11,000 per employee per year. Now, where does that number come from and how is that calculated? Well, with respect to this, what we're talking about is if you take the costs of running a business, the real estate costs, the rent, the mortgage, the utilities, you take the common services, you know, photocopier, you know, the networking equipment, desks, chairs, things of this nature, and you amortize it over the staff, I mean, you could see how that price can get there pretty quickly if you look at the total cost of something. Well, when somebody works from home, you typically shift that cost to them, you know, and instead of you having to, you know, purchase all these things and have a building, you know, they're working from their home. You start thinking about, for example, in urban areas, you know, Class A office space in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. I mean, it's not hard to get to that number when you take into account the full price of what it means to have like an office on the 30th floor or something like that. And I mean, if the work product is done at home, I mean, that's just money that can go straight to the bottom line. Now, in our organization, we typically give a stipend, an offset with respect to working from home, you know, in terms of being able to help offset the additional cost of electricity, telecommunications, things of this nature, to make it fair for the employee as well as an incentivization. And you're seeing a lot of big tech companies follow that as well. And hopefully it starts to matriculate in other parts of the economy as well. Now, outside of the cost savings for this, we typically see increased employee retention, satisfaction, work-life balance. I think my family would tell you I'm probably the exception, not the rule for the work-life balance. I typically tend probably to work more than I should. But I can tell you, not having to commute for an hour or two a day, which is very easy to do here in Southern California, certainly does add to that work-life balance in terms of, at least I'm here, you know, and I'm working towards it, Alicia. I'm working towards it. I'm telling you right now, we're going to get there. We see typically decreased absenteeism, decreased attrition. Again, we typically see higher satisfaction with this. People tend to show up to work. You know, if you don't have to commute anywhere, it's pretty easy not to call in sick. We see increased happiness with respect to flexibility and workspace, you know, in terms of just people having the flexibility to be able to work and work where they choose to work. We certainly see an environmental positive impact with respect to less energy and less fuel. We also see increased candidate pool. If you allow people to work remote, they can work anywhere. And so as because of this, you can include people that would not traditionally be a good fit for your organization. It's crazy to think that the only people that could ever work for my company are the ones that live within an hour drive of our office. That's just crazy to think about, you know? You can, when you have a cloud-based organization, you let people work from home, the world is your oyster. You can have candidates that can work from you from anywhere, you know, from completely across the country, in other parts of the world as needed, or candidates that maybe not would be a good fit otherwise. You know, for example, people who maybe don't like to be in an office setting, recent parents, things of this nature. And you can also find people that are very good at a particular task, and you can get them for that one task without having to maybe having them sign off to work the entire time. It gives a great rise to contract work in this world as well. Now, as great as working from home is, there are some compelling reasons to keep the office. And my position, I would say, with this is that these are things that can be overcome. These are risks that can be mitigated. And with great culture, good work-life balance, and the right planning, these are, in my opinion, very manageable with respect to what they do. Well, when you work remote, less opportunity for collaboration. It's hard to kind of replicate that face-to-face interaction that you get with people, okay? Well, if the only way you're interacting with people is on the phone or by text message or by email, absolutely. I would tell you one of the best applications you could possibly use to improve and promote collaboration in your organization is Microsoft 365. And within that, the Microsoft Teams application. It allows for very easy video conferencing, video sharing with your staff. You can collaborate face-to-face with each other. You can work on documents in real time with each other. So in my opinion, utilizing technology effectively, we can clear that issue right away. Okay, there can be security concerns for staff working remote with sensitive information. Well, truthfully, that would be even in the office itself. If we look at, for example, Edward Snowden and the data breach that occurred at the NSA, I mean, he was in the office and that still occurred. You know, it's the same risk that I think you would have in the house. And I think utilizing proper security techniques, things like intrusion prevention systems, great firewalls, things of this nature, it's going to be very easy to ensure that the right level of security is still in place. Okay. There could be increased costs to the employee from working from home. I can tell you, as somebody works from home, my heating and my electricity bills have gone up. Or they would go up if this was something new, you know, from the increased computer usage and more people being from home. Well, I think it's only fair that the company help offset that for the staff itself. Other costs like the internet are relatively fixed. You might need to go up a plan to get that higher speed, but for the most part, it should be about the same. These next two are kind of intertwined with each other. Understanding company direction, understanding company culture. When you work remote, it tends to be in a silo, at least for organizations that don't plan for this correctly. I can tell you that in our company, we make a very concerned effort for people to know each other, to talk with each other. My business partner and I, for example, we get together multiple times a year and we talk about direction, products, clients, where we are going and how we are going to do it. And by getting together and having these conversations, even though we're not together all the time, they still occur. And then usually when we get together, we focus on, for example, high quality conversations, you know, big picture ideas, big changes that we want to implement. And then when we're working from home, it's very transactional. Is this working? Hey, have you invoiced this person? Have we collected on this? So on and so forth. But if you make a concerned effort to allow for personal time between staff to talk, you have a team meeting, and before you dive into the meat of that, everybody chit-chats for a few minutes, you're going to create that esprit de corps that you normally would find in an office environment. I think the biggest risk that a lot of organizations feel that they have is, if you work from home, I'm not going to be able to manage you, and you're going to just sit at home and, you know, watch daytime soap operas and eat bonbons. I think anybody who's worked from home for any duration of time would tell you that is the least likely scenario, especially for self-motivated people. You're probably going to find yourself, you're working more, and you're probably going to have higher quality work than what you would get traditionally from being in the office itself. Now, ways you can mitigate this: project management solutions, task management solutions, collaboration opportunities, communication. My partner and I, we talk every day, multiple times a day about what we're doing and how we're going to do it. And I feel that by both of us being in our respective homes, we actually get more done than if we were in the office together. You know, there's no 2-hour lunches and, you know, maybe a cocktail hour at 5 o'clock. We tend to probably work at a higher productivity level. Okay, so for those of you who are maybe working from home for the first time, I've got some recommendations of basic technology that you should have in place to make this effective for you. You're going to want, for example, some sort of unified communication system to allow you to stay in contact. My personal recommendation would be Microsoft Teams. If you're not a Microsoft company, another company to check out would be Slack. Allows for great instant messaging, telecommunications, video conferencing. It's wonderful. You're going to need some remote access, either through something like a VPN or preferably a cloud hosting company where you can get access to your data. Services like SharePoint or ShareFile or Google Drive are great opportunities to be able to collaborate and communicate files with each other. Okay, you're going to need some sort of security services to keep your stuff safe and secure. Okay, you're going to need particular applications, you know, for project management, document management, to be able to get to this information and work correctly. Okay, again, collaboration, in my opinion, is key. But these are kind of the big picture topics that you should probably have in your organization before making that switch of pulling your trigger and working remote. Okay. Now, in terms of physical hardware, you're going to need some stuff that's going to make this more effective. Okay. First and foremost, dedicated workspace. I can't speak highly enough about this. Hopefully you have a bedroom in your home that you can have an office, that you can have private conversations, be able to focus. For my colleagues who have young children, that's very difficult sometimes. You might not have that space to be able to work, and you have to work on the kitchen counter. I could totally see how this might be detrimental to your productivity if you don't have a place to work. So ideally, try to find a place, comfortable chair, good seating, good lighting, that works well for you. I personally recommend a lightweight but powerful laptop. I personally am a big fan of the Lenovo ThinkPads. My business partner turned me on to them several years back, and they're fantastic, very powerful Windows 10 machines. Certainly you need high quality, fast internet access in terms of being able to work and be able to get online. I also recommend that you have a good smartphone. I'm a big fan of the Apple devices. They also can tether, which is great. So with that laptop, if you can't get online with your house internet, you can tether to your phone and still be able to work. Big fan of a good office chair, good keyboard and mouse, standalone keyboard and mouse, not the trackpad, so that you can really work well. I'd recommend 2 monitors, you know, so that you can spread your work across. And certainly some sort of telecommunications, speakerphone or webcam for communication. I'm a big fan of the Jabra speakerphones. This is the 18N speakerphone. And in fact, we like them so much that my partner and I, we sent them out to our whole company. It's very nice not having to put a headset on. As somebody with a big fat head, it's quite nice being able to have that speakerphone. And I love that device. Okay, some tips with respect to working from home. First and foremost, have a plan. I would tell you that as you're starting to look and expanding your ability to work not from the office, figure out how you're going to do this. Write down some goals, have some objectives, identify what your biggest issues are and how you can resolve those issues before they become problems. Okay. Set work hours and daily limits. Okay. Again, I'm probably not the best at this. So do as I say, not as I do. I can tell you that most folks that work remote find themselves working well over 40 hours a week. I would tell you that for especially salaried staff, you're paid typically for 40 hours, work 40 hours. And don't forget to give yourself a lunch break, and plan accordingly. Okay. Communicate regularly with your clients, your staff, your colleagues. Communication is really key from here. Again, I talk with almost all of my staff every single day. I talk with my partner 20 times a day through Teams, and it's very fast and efficient. Okay. Make yourself available for social interaction. I really think this is important with respect to having time. Ask your colleagues about their kids and the soccer practice and what their holiday plans are, things of this nature. Make it a point to say happy birthday, happy Valentine's Day, or whatever it ends up being. Just because you're remote doesn't mean you need to be rude. And I think those interpersonal reactions are going to build that esprit de corps. It's that additional work that you would do normally in the office anyways, but make it a point. I'm always a big fan of courtesies, and I'm a big fan of still using them even if we're not in the same general place. When meeting with your staff or clients, have a camera on, okay? Avoid multitasking. I'm a big fan of giving people my absolute attention when I'm talking to them. And in our company, we have a general rule that when there's a meeting, you have your camera on so that we can see each other. Subtle side tip, I always try to make it a point when I'm in an important meeting with a client, and they're remote and I'm remote. I always like to let them know they can see my hand so they just don't think I'm multitasking or hammering out an email. I'll make it a point to, that they can see that I'm actively engaged in that conversation. Track your time, set milestones, identify what those success metrics are so that you know essentially what you're doing and how you're going to do it, and you can measure your success. There are lots of different project management systems that are out there. I'm personally a really big fan of the system called Trello. I'm also a big fan of Microsoft Planner. These are Kanban style project management solutions, both of which are free, that are great for being able to track progress and track where you are with a particular client engagement. All right, let's go ahead and have a review question. Okay. So on average, how much does a US-based business expect to save per remote worker per year? Is it $2,000, $4,500, $9,000, or $11,000? Okay. Well, the answer here is $11,000. So that's a lot of cheddar, and that's a lot of money per employee straight to the bottom line. All right, so let's go into the second part of our presentation today here, which is going to be utilizing cloud technology effectively. And so we're going to spend about a half hour here talking about different methods that we can utilize cloud tech and some different tools and techniques and services that come in. I'm really kind of just trying to educate you broadly about what internet services are, what hosting services are, to give you the bigger picture with respect to how these pieces fit together. Join us next time for the second part of this course, where we're going to dive into an action plan for migrating this to your organization, as well as a lot of specific recommendations on this product is the best, this service is the best. But I'm going to pepper in a lot of that as we go. And again, if you're interested in earning credit for today's course, go ahead and go to cpe.cx/CTW1 or go to cpetoday.com, take a short 5-question exam and earn your credits for today's course. It's a fast, super easy and effective way to get those credits to keep your license and to keep compliance. All right. So in this section, we're going to talk about what the cloud is in a nutshell, the cloud inside your business, some of the benefits and risks with respect to what this technology looks like, and some of the major key business opportunities for what this could be for your organization. Okay, so what is the cloud? And what does it mean to an organization? Well, the cloud, if anything, it's more of a colloquialism. It's a metaphor. It's a term that kind of just summarizes stuff managed by other people. Okay. Now, technically, what we talk about is that these are services that are provided by third parties. Some of the big players in this particular space are going to be services like Microsoft Azure, Amazon Web Services, Rackspace, DigitalOcean, Verizon, so on and so forth. And when we talk about utilizing cloud services, we're talking about utilizing services which are provided by other companies that we consume pretty much like a utility, in the same way that we would consume electricity or internet access or gas inside of our home. I don't have a power plant in my house. I don't go and pump the water from the ground or pipe the gas, the natural gas, into my house. It's hooked up, you know, and it just kind of flows like magic straight into my property. In the same way, that's like cloud services. It gives us the opportunity to be able to utilize these things without having to be responsible for all the overhead in terms of making it work. Overhead would be things like physical hardware, software, backup, security. All of that is kind of taken care of on our behalf by these various companies. Now, another key advantage of cloud services is that because we're not responsible for a lot of the physical technology of this, other than what we personally use, like our personal smartphone or our personal laptop, gives us great ability to scale. We can scale these things very quickly, very easily, and we can go from small to big seemingly in an instant. In the same way for our house, if we need more electricity, we flip on that extra light. It's not like there's a generator that's pumping a little bit more juice. It just happens. In the same way, that's what cloud services do as well. Now, leveraging the cloud inside your organization is more than just using the internet. It's really kind of a methodology. It's a philosophy in a lot of respects. It's a fundamental shift of how, where, and when work is conducted, how you consume and utilize technology inside your organization. You're changing a lot of the things that you do yourself, and instead of doing it inside the organization, in that physical geographic space, instead you are putting it out there in the ether and you're consuming these services over wire, basically, over your internet connection. Now, gives you lots of great flexibility, gives you the opportunity to change things about your business, opportunity to respond quickly to business conditions. There are a lot of different services that do a lot of different business things, like marketing or sales or accounting, that if I wanted to start a business, almost in an instant, I can provision these services and consume them, versus the old way of doing it where we would have to literally go and get them and acquire them and buy them and set them up. I mean, you plug in an email, you set a password, plug in a credit card, you're up and running, okay? And so cloud technology gives businesses a lot of different opportunities that traditional technology just would not provide. So what are some of the big benefits with respect to this cloud tech? Okay, well, cost savings. And really, it's not 100% savings. I would say it's more cost shifting. And there's some savings that could be built in there if you do it correctly as well. Working with the cloud gives you a lot of control that you would otherwise not have. It gives you a lot more vendor options that you would otherwise not have. And it gives you the ability to maybe shift costs from physical hardware to more service-based. Sometimes we refer to this as software as a service or infrastructure as a service, where we would consume things that we would typically have to physically buy. You know, we can now consume in the same way that we would, again, our water, power, or electric bill. Additionally, it also gives us the opportunity to trade CapEx for OpEx. You know, capital expenditure would be physically buying these things and having them on our balance sheet. When we utilize cloud services, we're typically never buying them, but rather it's a long-term operational lease. And so it's a income statement expense rather than a capital expenditure. And so depending on the nature of your organization and your finances, that might be better. I can tell you for a lot of companies, you know, when we show them the bill of what it's going to take to physically buy all the hardware and software, you know, it could be quite high depending on the nature of the business and what we're trying to do here. But if instead we, say, hey, it'll cost you $600 a month, well, that's a much more palatable option for a lot of organizations. And yes, you might pay more in the long run, but you're not having to come out of pocket for everything all at once. You'll typically also see efficiency with staff, especially in the IT world. Typically, you don't need as many support staff. One person can service multiple offices because, you know, if everything's remote, it doesn't matter that they are there, and it gives them the opportunity to be able to service more people because they're not having to travel as much. You still probably need someone to configure, you know, your network devices or your printers. Printers are the bane of any IT person's existence, but those issues are typically one-off and infrequent. Now, it also gives us the opportunity to have different pricing methods. Instead of buy, acquire, and spend all at once, you know, typically we're going to be consuming these services on demand, paying a monthly rate that is consumption-based. The more we use, the more we pay. Now, in terms of accessibility, this is probably one of the best benefits with respect to cloud tech, especially in the coronavirus COVID world. If it is cloud-based, you could typically work anywhere and at any time. With an internet connection, the world is your oyster. You can be processing invoices while sitting in a cafe in Paris, or reading and perusing emails on a beach in the Bahamas. I think in both those instances, you probably shouldn't. You should probably enjoy where you're at, but at least you have that opportunity. I found myself, for example, doing my bank reconciliation, standing in the grocery line of the supermarket. You know, it was a big old line due to COVID, and I was doing my bank rec right there. You know, hey, work where you can, and at least you have the opportunity to do it. With respect to security, cloud tech is actually more secure than non-cloud tech. That's kind of a misnomer and a miscommunication, I think, by a lot of people. They think, oh, if it's cloud, it's not as secure. Typically, cloud tech has better security than what you would get with traditional office infrastructure. First and foremost, if you think about it, there's no physical infrastructure. It's literally running on a server in a data center somewhere else, you know, and so it's not your opportunity. It's not your responsibility anymore. It's managed and taken care of by other people. So by immediately just moving to the cloud, we've eliminated that particular risk. Now, the other layer of this is logical security, internet access, how you interact with these things. And as long as you're using secure methods like VPN, virtual private network, or SSH, secure shell, or certainly at a very minimum using HTTPS, secure hypertext transfer, using proper security certificates, you're good to go. I mean, in almost all instances. Now, sustaining that, you're gonna wanna take and do your due diligence with respect to ensuring that these things are correctly set up, but it's simple, and it's usually, again, like a one type thing. And again, you don't have that physical server that someone potentially could walk away from. That's not a risk anymore. Backup utilizing cloud services is also much better, faster, easier, cheaper, and more redundant. Cloud security and backup services far exceed what most organizations can do on their own. In our company, we're big fans of Amazon Web Services, AWS. And we utilize a lot of their services, including backup. And I can tell you, I can back up literally every server in my company in under 10 minutes. I have scripts that run, that are procedures that run regularly that back up multiple different things in multiple different ways. So in the event of a disaster, we have multiple recovery strategies. Backup is something you hope to never have, but it's really important that you plan for it. And utilizing cloud services is the best way to be able to do that. S3, which is Amazon services, is probably the best out there, in my opinion. It's super redundant. You can sustain data loss in two facilities concurrently with no interruption to business operations. And in fact, if you store 10,000 objects in S3, Amazon service, you can expect to lose one object due to their failure every 10 million years, which is, again, truly incredible. Can you say the same about your data and your backup plan? Probably not. Now, as great as cloud-based services are, there are some risks. And again, with very similar to with respect to working from home, I think most of these risks can be mitigated. Probably one of the more regular risks, this is something that will happen at some point, it's an inevitability, internet connection will fail. Internet access is absolutely vital. And without access to the internet, you're not going to be able to communicate and be able to access these services because, again, they're not in your physical space. Well, how are some ways that we can mitigate this? You can utilize multiple internet connection options. At a very minimum, you could have your staff that are working from home, for example, have a smartphone that can be hotspot enabled. So if their internet dies, which has happened to me multiple times, I can just switch over to the hotspot on my phone and I at least get a couple more hours of juice because I got a great laptop with a great battery. So there's ways of preventing that. I would also tell you, you should consider getting business-grade internet access, and specifically internet access with a service-level agreement, where if something doesn't work, they're going to make it work within a specified time period. You can also utilize multiple work environments. You know, in the event that one space isn't working, you can go to another space, you know, maybe your relative's house or something like that. There could be failure on part of the provider. The provider could go out of business. They could have an interruption. They could have another critical failure. You know, if you're trusting, you have to trust somebody at the end of the day. What I would tell you, utilize good companies. I'm a big fan of utilizing companies that have a strong track record and level of expertise in a particular field. And I would tell you that in this instance, it's always better to go with bigger providers than smaller. Companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and others, they've got billions and billions and billions of dollars in infrastructure that's available. And if it doesn't work, trust me, the whole world's going to know about it, and you won't be the only one, versus if you were to use like Bob's Computer Supply down the street. Bigger is better in this particular instance. Privacy breaches, espionage, information theft. Okay, your data could be stolen. It could be breached while in the provider. I mean, but to be fair, this particular risk is the same whether it's in your office or if it's up in a cloud provider. What I would tell you is to utilize a good provider that has a strong track record and expertise in your profession that's gone through various compliance audits to ensure that they meet specific criteria. Things like SOC 3 compliance, PCI compliance, HIPAA compliance, these exist for a reason, to ensure that your data is going to be safe and secure. Now, one of the best recommendations I can give you with respect to security is to utilize two-factor authentication, which is utilizing an additional layer of authentication above and beyond a password, and to utilize encryption services as much as possible. Two-factor authentication, good passwords, you're going to be fine. And what I would tell you is that in most instances, this is going to be your best method of keeping your information safe and secure. And forcing people to use a good, strong password is probably about the best that you can hope for. Okay, let's go ahead and have our next review question. What are some of the main benefits and compelling reasons of utilizing cloud-based technology? Is it anywhere, anytime access, improved security and backup, cloud cost reduction and shifting, all of the above? Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it is all of the above. So you can expect to get all of those services and more by utilizing cloud tech. Okay, in our last part of our presentation today, I'm going to go ahead and identify some key business opportunities. And when we come back, we're in the second part of our course in a couple of weeks. We are going to dive into these opportunities a little bit more, and I'm going to give you a lot of providers and opportunities. But I'm going to identify some of the big ones now that I think are really useful for you to know. Okay, well, one of the first big benefits with respect to utilizing cloud tech is your infrastructure. If you utilize cloud-based technology, you can actually move your physical infrastructure from your office to a data center hosted by a company like Amazon or Azure or something like that. What's great about this is that the data now is 100% in the cloud. Everybody is remote essentially to and in context and perspective of that data. Typically, it has a lower cost of ownership compared to traditional methods when you take into account the lifespan of this stuff. If you plan on buying something and you never upgrade, great. You know, then you probably, that would be cheaper for you. But most organizations upgrade about every 3 to 4 years. You're never going to be able to break even on that investment for most organizations. Cloud technology companies and hosting companies like this, you just pay for it as you would normally consume it. And it's going to be an operating expense versus having to buy it and then eventually dispose of it. And tech, for the most part, has a $0 recovery. It's typically going to be more secure, it's going to be more reliable, and gives you the opportunity to be able to scale really well. Now, what we're talking about this is physically actually moving your organization's data, its applications, from a server in your office to the cloud. For example, instead of having a local share drive, you use a service like SharePoint or ShareFile or Google Drive. Instead of running an application on your local computer, you utilize Citrix or you utilize remote desktop connection and you remote into a cloud center and access it that way. Now, I have two recommendations with respect to cloud hosting companies that I think you should take a look at. My first is Amazon Web Services. And to be fair, I love AWS. We utilize them for almost everything inside of our business. And they're probably the best overall, best price, best features, best functions. The only downside I would say for most for a lot of organizations is the fact that this is a professional tool. Similar to, for example, how UltraTax from Thomson or Access from CCH is a professional tax product not intended for consumers. Amazon Web Services is a professional
hosting provider intended for IT professionals. If you know what you're doing, it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's reliable. It's extremely powerful. But if you don't have that expertise in terms of being able to configure and work with servers, this might be a little bit difficult. If you have an IT team, they should know how to utilize this service extremely well. So it's probably the overall best, and pretty much I would say a significant percentage of the internet is utilizing Amazon Web Services. Other similar services, which are infrastructure providers, would be companies like Azure, Rackspace, DigitalOcean, and others. Now, if you don't want to do it yourself, a company that I would recommend that you take a look at that can set up your own personal cloud would be Ace Cloud Hosting. Ace Cloud Hosting specializes in serving the needs of professional accounting and financial companies. They can set up hosted QuickBooks, hosted other applications for you, and it'll all be cloud-based. But the big benefit is that if you're not in the business of managing IT infrastructure and you don't want to hire these people, well, and you still want to move to the cloud, this is a great option for you because they'll configure everything and they'll support you. You know, come April 10th, when your cloud goes offline, you got a company that you can call that can help bring you back online. A company like Amazon or Azure, it is what it is. You know, there's really not any support for end users in that capacity versus a company like Ace. They are specifically designed for, I would say, small and medium-sized businesses. So a really, really good option. Another option would be your communication services. You can, for example, move your telephone and your voice providers instead of using traditional copper carriers like Verizon or AT&T. You can move these services directly up to the cloud. What's great about them is they work anywhere. We use a cloud-based phone system over here. Rings anywhere. As long as you got internet, you plug in the phone and it works. So this is a great option if you're like reception and like your reception staff, administrative staff that need to answer the incoming phone calls. Well, they can do that from home. And then they can transfer calls just like if you were